Well, good morning. It's can't believe it's a month since we were last here. I'm sorry we haven't got more copies of these around. I'm not sure I gave some out to people because it was, as I said last time, originally bought with the idea of doing it on Wednesday evening, but COVID-19 paid to that. So this is a new experiment that we're doing, and I hope that it's going to work out for us. So you can see that's the cover of the book, and I'm thinking there's a lot of work in the preparation. I'm not complaining about that. I enjoy doing that sort of thing, but this month seems to have been a very busy month one way or another. So I was thinking about it, and I thought, well, we better have a quick resume, because there are people here I know who were not here last time. So we've got, this is the introduction that I ran through, excuse me, last time. The key words that are going to come up throughout the series is commitment, belonging, remember, and community. That's meant to be underneath commitment. I'm no expert on PowerPoint, I'm afraid, and I've really struggled with some of it, but I haven't done too bad this time. But the action steps. Sorry, I haven't put my... Can you hear me all right anyway? But, that's it. Action steps. The idea is that we are going to, hopefully, put theory into practice. As I look around, I realise I'm speaking to the converted, and probably some of the people who we would like to see coming on a more regular basis, are not here. So, but the Lord knows these things. So, the principal aim of the of doing this is that we'd be able to enable us to see our church with new eyes of expectancy. The idea of that is, of course, this gentleman, Tony Marada, he's American, and he's a pastor of a church in America, and he, along with other people with whom he's in contact, are aware of the fact that, you know, we can become, dare I say the word, bored with, you know, coming along to church on a Sunday morning. I'm not sort of saying that in any sense of, you know, having a go at anybody, but it is easy, I suppose, you know, when we do something on a regular basis. I have to confess that for me, coming out to chapel as it is now has always been something that I've accepted as part of my life, and always enjoyed it. So, but there are people, of course, who are not so sure about these things. And so his agenda is to help people to love Jesus and his church, and to know how to love the church. And, you know, for us in this fellowship, I think I can honestly say that there is a love in this fellowship. We are a true fellowship. You know, Jean and I, we both feel that, you know, we are living amongst friends when we come to the chapel and when we meet at times. And there are people, you know, that if we've got problems, we would feel very easy to share them with us. So that's what his agenda is on that. Now, what are the aims which we've got there? The aims are, the secondary aims are to help ordinary Christians to realise the significance of the church and what role we can play in it. And I think that's very important in these days in which we're living. We're very fortunate that we were given a lift up to the SGA conference yesterday up in Birmingham area. And the gentleman who spoke, he's a very forthright speaker, lovely guy, and as long as you could understand his Irish accent, it was excellent. And he was pointing out again, as we must all be aware of it, what is going on. And it hit me when he said that we are living in a time when the majority of people are actually really against the Christian religion, Christianity, and it's worrying, isn't it? I mean, you know, I don't know whether you get emails like I do from various organisations, and there's a lot of protests going on about what is going on in this world. I don't want to go down. You know as well as I do. You watch the news and you read your papers, but so hopefully it will spur us on to be not just Christians who are coming along to a church on Sunday morning, but that we would indeed seek to be active in trying to proclaim it. And to remind and affirm that all the members of the church are a family. I hope that you would agree with me when I say that, you know, I see this as a part of my family. You know, we have our direct family, but we've got, if you like, an extended family. And it's a family that is a time when we can enjoy time together. And I look forward, as I hope you do, to coming out on a Sunday morning or fish and chip supper or whatever we're coming to, that we are as a family. And so to move the message, and I like this, one of his aims is to move the message from the head to the heart. And there's a lot of truth in that, isn't there, if we think about it. You know, we can know these things. We can read our Bibles. And, you know, it goes in here. Sometimes it goes out the other side as well. But if these things are deep into us, then it's going to have an effect upon the way we operate. And to recapture the New Testament version of Christ's church. And, you know, it's there that we read again this morning. And I think we'll read that portion just to get it into our minds, what the early church was like. And it was an exciting time. But again, as we'll see as we go through, possibly this morning, I think maybe there's too much in this morning to do it in one hit, in which case we may in April finish off with it. So that's what he's done there. And then he outlines responsibilities that we've got. And these are the eight chapters that we're going to look at. This morning, the importance of belonging, why and how to practice hospitality, importance of worship services. Well, we've enjoyed worship service this morning. We've enjoyed the communion together, and we're carrying on now. Caring for one another. Again, I think, you know, that it's good to look at these things, but we are a caring fellowship, and it's good to know that. And serving one another, honouring one another. You know, sometimes in churches, people think there's a hierarchy, rather like in business, where there's the board of directors and then a line of managers, and then the rest of us who, you know, just do the work, as it were. And so it's not like that, you know. Clive, Tom and I, we're no different to you. We're just, the Lord's given us the responsibility to shepherd the flock, as we're told in the scriptures in the New Testament. And but we're no more important than anybody else. We are a fellowship together, and we'll look at that throughout the year. And then, of course, when we've come through all this lot, we will be hopefully more keener, and we will be more ready to witness to our faith. I'm sure we all do witness to our faith now, but you know, we can, none of us are, shall we say, perfect at doing it. And I know that whilst I do witness, I could witness a lot better. And so hopefully that's what's going to come out of it. And then I don't know whether, you know, the last chapter is going to affect us directly in this fellowship, because the idea is that in a bigger church, having studied all this, then we would have people say, well, perhaps I should be moving on into other things in Christian work, and even going abroad as a missionary. So that's just the brief resume of what we did last time when we met. But we're moving into the into chapter one now, and it's belonging, loving your church, belonging, a gospel-centered family. And that's what all our churches should be. Sadly, they're not. But certainly, as I speak for Twinning Chapel, we are a gospel-centered family. And that's what we hear about today. And so, as image bearers of God, we are made for community. The triune God is relational God and has created us for relationships. And we have been reminded of that in the early chapters in Genesis. Again, strangely, well, it's not strange, is it? We know it's the way the Holy Spirit works. That Billy yesterday, when he was speaking to us, alluded to this, and the fact that God made man. He was made on the sixth day. And he made the point about, you know, should we, you know, in these days of when we've got to be careful what we say, days of PC. But he made the point that we should not be bound by these things, and that we should be those people who are guided by this book, and that we should be doing things. And he made the point about man is used a lot in the gospel and in the scriptures, and there are people who fall out with the Bible now and say, well, it's an old book, it's, you know, it's done, it's past its sell-by date, and we should be careful of these things. And he pointed out the fact that, of course, the woman came out from the man, didn't he? You know, the woman is the rib from the man. And so mankind covers us both. Many TV shows are based on community, Tony was pointing out. And I was trying to think of one or two, the only two that I don't watch an awful lot of television. But, you know, the one, I suppose, that is popular at the moment and is based on community, I suppose, is Michael McIntyre's Big Show, which is on a Saturday evening, isn't it? And usually I'm watching something else when Jean's downstairs watching that. I'm watching a Christian program that gets sent to me each week, and The Wheel and so on. And you could probably think of others, but they're based on community. We are people who need to be in community. And of course, we've got social media. Well, I have a very mixed feelings about social media. I do not do Facebook. I think Facebook is, I can see the advantages of it, but I think the disadvantages for me personally far outweigh any advantages. On the odd occasion, if I slip into Facebook, suddenly I've got all these people that want to see me and want to speak to me. And I just haven't got the time for that sort of thing. So, but I know that a lot of people use Facebook and all these other things. Facebook, FaceTime, of course, is a very useful thing for Jean and I because we talk to our daughter down in Australia. Very useful. But and then, of course, we have the WhatsApp king in our presence this morning. Keith, he's trying to get me up to speed on that. And LinkedIn was another one that I thought of. So the need for community, as we see, is God-given. And he has provided a place for it, the church. And so in spite of what lots of people are saying and lots of churches are half empty, it is indeed, it's God-given to us, and it's something that we should value. Of course, why is church not popular? Well, there's a little word in there, sin. And, you know, if you think of that word, what's the centre character? It's I, it's me. And we're all sinners, aren't we? And we break fellowship with God and others because of these things. And so I was reminded as I was reading through and preparing of Genesis 3. Remember that God had made man on the sixth day, and on the seventh day he rested, and he looked at everything and he saw that it was all very good. But then, of course, he used to commune with man in the beautiful garden that he put him in. And it's as a result, the devil came in, didn't he? And he tempted Eve, and Eve fell for his temptation. She yielded to it, and then she gave to her husband, and he took what she'd given to him. And then they realized, the Bible says, that they were naked. They'd seen no problems with anything. They were in a perfect world. We can't imagine it, can we? But there we are. They were in a perfect world. And sin entered through the serpent, through the devil. And it spoilt the fellowship that we have with God. And that's why sometimes we struggle with these things. We've got to remember, of course, that that's happened, but God has made it possible for us to be reunited with him, reconciled us through the gospel, through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done when he was went to Calvary for us. So we are people who this morning are all reconciled. As I look around, I don't know anybody that I don't think has not made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we've got salvation. We've been reconciled to God. And do we realise what privileged people we are when we think of what God has done for us and the position that he's brought us into? And we will be looking, if we have time this morning, into the book of Ephesians, which talks about lots of these things. So we have unity in Christ, but of course in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2, we read, "Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, and make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Yes, it needs maintenance. So we need to be proactive, is the word they use these days, in our faith. And we don't just sit back and leave it at that. And so God gives us a place where we belong. And now we need to commit to belonging. And, you know, I hope that this message does get out, and that, you know, I can never understand Christians who don't find themselves on a Sunday morning in God's house. It really does not. I suppose I was very fortunate that I was brought up in a wonderful Christian home. My parents were real good examples of what Christians should be. And I really do appreciate it. Probably don't appreciate it as much as I should. But, you know, this is where we belong. And we need to commit to belonging, which is what this book is trying to bring out. So experiencing the blessing of community, as I was just saying, it requires attendance at corporate events, regular meetings, whether they be large or small. But what COVID-19, of course, has done has spoiled things. And I speak to Christians from time to time who no longer see the importance of meeting as we're meeting this morning. They say, well, there's so much stuff out there online, and, you know, I can just stay in my pyjama. I mean, I've had that said to me. I get out of bed, you know, a cup of tea, in my pyjamas, and I can watch a service. Well, you know, that's not what Christianity is all about, is it? These things have a place, and I'm not knocking them. But, you know, the real fellowship that we're having, and we Tom read that from Hebrews 10, that we should make sure that we are meeting together. We can spur one another on. We can share problems. We can share our joys. And that's what Christianity is all about, isn't it? So COVID-19 has spoiled things, but on the other hand, of course, other things have come out from it, which are on our Tuesday evening prayer meeting, which works very well for us, doesn't it? And but we need to stay connected in community and in worship, as we've done this morning. If these things are a poor substitute for the real thing. Well, we need to look at the church from Jesus' perspective. Doing our own thing and following our own ideas and desires is contrary to the idea and the purpose of the church. As I keep saying, we need to be people who meet together, spur one another on in our faith, and that is so important. We need to see the church from Jesus' perspective, both biblically and joyfully. And Tony goes on to say that belonging to a church means investing your life in a gospel-centered community of believers who joyfully, note that, joyfully, serve one another and advance Jesus' mission together. And the great Welsh preacher, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he underscored the need for a joyful church. And he said, "The greatest need of the hour is a revived and joyful church. Unhappy Christians are a poor recommendation for the faith. The exuberant joy of the early Christians was one of the most potent factors in the spread of Christianity. And how true that is. As we've read this morning again, to remind us ourselves of what they did. They met together joyfully. We saw before, hospitality is an important aspect of being together as people. And they met together and they supported one another. And the result was that the church was added to daily. You know, I mean, we rejoice if somebody new comes in once in a blue moon, so to speak. But to think that, you know, if we were to open these doors even every Sunday and somebody came in to join us, it would be wonderful, wouldn't it? But that's what Martin Lloyd-Jones, who's a well-known preacher and gospel person, he saw it as that way. And he is alluding to Acts 2 and 47. We should naturally be joyful people when we consider what God has done for us. He's given us salvation, reconciliation, redemption, sanctification. They're just four concepts that God has given to us through the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. And Ted Carnier was speaking a couple of weeks ago, wasn't he, about Galatians, and particularly he homed in on Galatians 5 and the fruit of the Spirit. And he said that, you know, even when things are not going terribly well for us, we can be joyful. You know, joy is not happiness. You know, happiness is something that is transient, isn't it? That, you know, we're happy about something and it happens and then it's gone. But joyful, for the Christian, we should have joy. We used to sing a song, didn't we, years ago? I've got the joy, joy, joy deep down in my heart, something like that. And it's true, we should be joyful people. And when we think of what we have got, we are indeed truly blessed. And here, as I say, Ted reminded us that we must not just be displaying joy, but that we should be indeed living and displaying the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as I was typing those out, I had a little bit of a conscience about one or two of them, you know, but do I display all those all the time? I have to confess that I don't. I wish I did, but, you know, I try to, but, you know, we've got nature, haven't we? And it's a sinful nature. And unfortunately, it overtakes us on occasions. And so he emphasized that we do not necessarily have to be happy and contented, but we should display joy. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, as we're exhorted to do so by the in Galatians. Now, we are a privileged people, and I want to read something to you in page 26. There we are. Paragraph 3. And I thought if I read this, it's going to be far better than me trying to explain it. It's a privilege to belong to the new covenant people of God, to be part of those who've been saved through repentance and faith in Christ Jesus, who possess the indwelling Holy Spirit, who are joined in a local gathering, who assemble to hear the word preached, who engage in corporate worship, who are led by qualified pastors, elders, and who enjoy the wonder of baptism and the Lord's Supper. It is an awesome thing to be part of those who commit to practicing the one another of Scripture and who scatter to fulfill the Great Commission and the Great Commandments. Love your neighbour and the Great Commission. Make disciples of all nature. And really, I think that's probably one of the most poignant paragraphs that he makes in the book. And we are, aren't we? We truly are blessed when we think of all those things. They're not pie in the sky. They are what being a Christian is all about. And therefore, because of that, it should overflow into the fact that we are together. So both the universal church and all Christian believers in all times and places around the world and the local church are important. Often an overlap, but we are focusing in our series on the local church, and there are more references in Scripture to the local church. And so the word church is the word ecclesia in the Greek, and it means the gathering or assembly. So however, the church is more than just a gathering. It's a local community of believers who gather for worship and scatter for witness. We share life together, centered on Jesus, for the good of one another. And he goes on to enlighten us about the word community. And again, we're back to the early church. And I must make this, as I draw to a close, I must draw this. I love this quote that he gave. Community, he says, is everywhere in the New Testament. The Bible does not support the idea of lone ranger Christians. And how true that is. I've met a few Christians over the years who, for various reasons, say, well, we don't meet with people because we don't agree with what they're doing. And we don't go to that church because they don't do it. And there were three fellows in Gravesend, really fine Christian men, actually. And they meet on a Sunday morning, purely and simply, because they don't agree with the reading from all these modern translations. The Word of God, they told me, is the 1611 edition. And, you know, I've talked with them and remonstrated with them. And but they're quite committed to the fact that the Bible is the King James Version. Sorry if we're leading you astray here with the new NIV and what have you. But there we are. So we can do that. And so I'm going to draw to a close on this just to say that we are part of the universal church and we are identifying with the community of God's people, both locally, and that we trust that others will see us and that it will be visible that we are indeed the people of God as we come in and out of this building. So we'll draw a close there, and I'll pick it up next month. So you've got a month's grace, Tom. So, yeah. Thank you.